Joining us now in OT on Sportsnet 650, Tracy Myers of NHL.com. Tracy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's always nice to talk a little hockey because there is a life outside of Canucks Nation. Who knew?
Yeah, I never try and tell the locals that other stuff is going on because Chicago was in that bubble for a while too. But yes, there is life outside of Canucks Nation.
Oh yeah, well, Chicago's a whole different animal, but I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, and I can't ever think about the Canucks without thinking about the great matchups between the Blackhawks and the Canucks. You know, back around the time that I first got up here in 2010 and 11 and everything. I mean, just the hockey and the hatred in those two teams was just glorious. It really was.
It really is. I have a friend in Chicago, and she said, "I'm going to come visit you. I'll wear my Taves jersey." I'm like, "You will not wear a Blackhawks jersey." So she's like, "Why? He's Canadian." And I said, no, you don't understand. You cannot. Not here."
Yeah,
so we get it. We get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just one of those things that, you know, the fear has died down, but certainly you, like I said, you get people from about 10 years ago or so, and those feelings run deep.
They definitely run deep, and we haven't forgotten the 2011 round for the us Canucks fans at all. We never will forget it.
No, that was a fun first round. I mean, for being as, you know, what was it, 3-0 Canucks before the Blackhawks kind of tore their way back in there and everything. But yeah, that was something. It was just, it was fantastic. You know, playoff hockey. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. And there's also nothing like an NHL outdoor game. I wanted to ask you, Tracy, about the Lake Tahoe games. And what did you make of it? I mean, despite the delays, because of, you know, that pesky sun, what did you make of the overall experience?
I thought it was great. I mean, obviously I'm a little biased working for the league, but I love any time something different is tried, something novel, you know, and with a situation where if we can't have fans, you know, to put it in a scene like that where you didn't have to, you know, deal with the stands and all that and everything, you could put it in more of a simple, almost like a pond hockey setting. And I told our columnist, Nick Kutznika, I was getting more jealous of him by the day, just seeing some of the photos that he was sending from that scene. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, you know, the first game, they had to delay it and then finish it later in the hours and everything. But between that one, between the Boston and Philly game, I mean, just a wonderful setting. And I love stuff like that, and I hope we keep it going.
Do you think the Lake Tahoe games rewrote the rules of the league's outdoor game strategy, or do you think it's going to be a one-and-done kind of pandemic-friendly event?
You know, I never know. And somebody asked Bruce Cassidy, that also the Boston Bruins coach, and I like the way he put it. It's like if you're an owner and you've got the ability to bring back fans again, you know, obviously you're going to want to do that. But you know, if this keeps up a little longer, who knows? But I don't think any idea should ever be a one and done unless it's a failure. And this was not a failure. I think this was great. I think it was beautiful. I think a lot of people just, like I said, even if you weren't into the hockey, you couldn't help but eat up the scenery. So, I would think that this is something that that you at least consider down the line again.
We're speaking with Tracy Myers of NHL.com. Now, Tracy, you said yourself that it was a success in your mind. Where would you love to see the next game? We've been toying with ideas here. Where's your dream location?
Oh, okay. Now, see, this is tough because I have covered, let's see, I can't even count on one hand the number of outdoor games I've covered. So I've seen them in stadiums, football stadiums, I've seen them in baseball parks. You know, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I was thinking of Vancouver and that beautiful mountain scenery. Again, I'm being biased because I'm talking to Vancouver radio right now. But, I mean, what a beautiful setting it would be up there somewhere. You know, Stanley Park, maybe. How gorgeous would that be?
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Yeah.
So we toyed with the idea of Whistler as well.
Oh, Banff. I mean, would that be too difficult? I know it's, what, 3 hours from Calgary? I took a drive up there once, and I was just blown away by just how breathtaking it was up there and everything. But, yeah, anything like that I think would be beautiful.
So Sidney Crosby, he played his 1,000th game with the Penguins. What's your favorite Sid moment?
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
You can pick more than one. That's okay.
I mean, I think, and I'm going to be slightly, again, it goes down to bias. And I know it wasn't him scoring the goals in was it the 2009 Stanley Cup. When they defeated Detroit, I think it was just seeing him pick up that cup for the first time in his career. And it's partly biased for me because I grew up in Northwestern Pennsylvania, and I wouldn't call myself a Penguins fan. But that particular night was my niece's 8th birthday, and she was a huge Penguins fan. And what a wonderful birthday gift it was for her to, to see the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby lift that cup. So I think because all the goals that he scored are running through my head, and probably the other great thought I would have on him is you know, it was a couple years ago when he was going through all those horrible issues with concussions that you wondered if he was going to play again. And just what a recovery and what a, I don't want to say his second half of a career, but just the continuance and his ability to go on and to have this 1,000th game. It's all very impressive for him.
Yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate, too, thinking he would have had his 1,000th game way before the other day, had it not been for all those injuries. Would you classify Sidney Crosby as your top five all-time NHL players?
I would have a hard time not putting him in my top five. That's for sure. Yeah. I by the time I really started getting into hockey, you know, it was toward the end of Wayne Gretzky's career, and obviously Mario Lemieux was in there. Just incredible. Now you bring in guys like Connor McDavid. I've watched Patrick Kane for 11 years, and just a tremendous talent he is. But yeah, I would put Crosby in there. I mean, just such an incredible talent, and with him and Ovechkin kind of coming out and bringing hockey back to life again back in the mid-2000s, I think he's definitely one of my top five.
Tracy Myers of NHL.com. Let's keep with the Sidney Crosby talk. Now, there was a rumor mill swirling last week that the Penguins were thinking about trading Crosby. Now, this made my head explode. Is there a world where Sid does not retire as a Penguin?
I can't imagine. And I believe he was asked about it not too long ago and said, yeah, I'm here in Pittsburgh. I love it in Pittsburgh. I don't plan to go anywhere else but Pittsburgh. So, yeah, there are certain guys that you can't imagine anywhere else. I couldn't imagine Sidney Crosby anywhere but Pittsburgh. I can't imagine Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews anywhere but Chicago. I couldn't have imagined, Joe Sakic, I think, played his entire career with the Avalanche. There's just certain guys that are just synonymous with one team. And Crosby began his career in Pittsburgh, and I absolutely foresee him finishing it there. So I couldn't imagine seeing him in another jersey.
Well, just to throw a wrench in that, I could never imagine a world where Wayne Gretzky was not playing with Edmonton. But stranger things have happened.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the thing is what was that quote? If you can trade Gretzky, you can trade anybody. But
right?
Yeah, I just I understand the quote. I get it. But I just can't foresee it.
I don't either. I just wanted to hear from an expert. Great. We're on the same page.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, to keep with the rumor mill talk, I want to talk about Artemi Panarin and the strange allegations that are coming out today. Again, talking about my head exploding. This whole story happening, him taking a leave of absence to deal with certain allegations. Do you have insight into said allegations?
No, I don't. I mean, that I've been kind of watching that thing from afar. And obviously when Panarin played here in Chicago, he was just this incredible player. And Patrick Kane still talks about how much he misses playing with that guy and just an incredible talent. But no, I saw the story and that's about all that I've seen on it. I really haven't, I don't know any of the inner workings. I don't know where any of that came from. It's just all very strange. I know, his political leanings because he's posted a lot on Instagram and everything like that. But as far as you know, where all this is coming from and kind of the inside knowledge. I don't have any, no.
Yeah, well, do you know what I've noticed is that anytime any other expert has been asked about it today, no one wants to talk about it. So that's a whole other can of worms right there. I just wanted to know if you had had any insight into it. But thank you for answering.
Oh, yeah. No, I have absolutely no idea what's going on there for sure.
I want to flip to some Canucks talk. So the Canucks, they've been struggling with their special teams, and they've just sort of been struggling in general. But I haven't been paying as much attention to the other three divisions. Now, how much separation is there on the power plays between teams like Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins and, you know, a team like the Canucks?
You know, I mean, with me, I'm seeing teams mainly in the Central Division. You know, I mean, that's where my concentration is here in Chicago. And so, yeah, I mean, you've got some teams in the East that are doing well. As far as some of the teams in the Central, I know Dallas was red hot for a while. The Blackhawks power play has been very good this year, which for them, you know, for the over the last bunch of years, it has not been that great. And considering the talent that they've had here, it was kind of astounding all the years that despite them winning left, right, and sideways, that power play was not good. It's very good this year. And one of the things that the Blackhawks have done is they're moving the puck much better. They're also moving personnel around the ice much better. Is that, you know, in the past, way too much passing, first of all, was part of their problem. And not enough shooting, always just waiting kind of for the perfect shot, basically. And too much standing still. You know, guys weren't rotating. Guys weren't, you know, if they were retrieving pucks, other guys weren't moving in position to make it easier for those guys to retrieve pucks. So, you know, I know their power play's been very good. I think Florida's has been good also. I watched a little bit of them tonight. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's for me, if the penalty kill is doing great. You know, if you're getting 5-on-5 scoring, you can get past a power play that's struggling. And but if you don't have those other things working, yeah, it can become a glaring issue. And I know it sounds like that's one of several things that that the Canucks have been struggling with this year.
We're speaking to Tracy Myers of NHL.com. Now, you did mention you cover the Central Division. The Nashville Predators, we have a couple BC boys that play for that roster. Now, they're 9 points behind from Carolina. We're wondering what's their biggest issue right now and what's their main struggle?
Yeah, speaking of power plays, I think they have gone pretty bad on it too. I'm trying to remember stats because I remember when they were playing the Blackhawks earlier this year, I think they were already something like 0-for-20. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks into the season, but they were already off to a rough start. And I don't think that that is recovered. So I think that's part of the problem. But, you know, I was so used to, you know, with Nashville, they've always been pretty balanced offensively. And, you know, it just seems like they're just not generating a whole heck of a lot this year. So it's been interesting to watch because that's a team that obviously has some talent with it. And, you know, you've got UC Saros and Pekka Rinne and everything, although I don't think Rinne's, you know, quite where he's been in the past. But, yeah, I think there's some things that Nashville's probably going to have to go over during the offseason because things just aren't clicking the way they were down there for the last couple of years.
Now, Tracy, you said you focus on the Central, of course. How surprised are you with the play of the Florida Panthers? Can't make fun of them anymore.
Well, I mean, again, I've watched Joe Quenneville work his magic for many a year. And, you know, it's easy to say, I mean, not that anybody's saying that, okay, Joe Quenneville, you know, was a product of all these talented teams in Chicago because, you know, a great coach is a great coach, and he's a great coach. I actually watched the Panthers game tonight against Dallas, and they outshot Dallas something like 30-4 or something in the second period. I mean, just dominated them. And actually just listened to Rick Bowness of the Dallas Stars say, you know, I mean, Anton Khudobin deserved much better because he's allowed only 2 goals on 51 shots. But Florida was just all over them. And I think that's the thing I've noticed from them this year is that you've got this team that whether they're just buying in to Quenneville in his second year, you've had some additions down there that have worked out very well, including Patrick Hornquist, getting that net front presence. Jonathan Huberdeau is having a great year. Aaron Ekblad's been off to a good season. So I think it's a combination of new and established guys down there. And, you know, and Quenneville, of course, you know, when you've got a coach of that magnitude, sometimes it takes a little time for things to click in. But right now, looks like things are clicking in.
Tracy Myers of NHL.com, thank you so much for joining us here on OT on Sportsnet 650.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Hopefully when we're allowed to travel again and the Blackhawks come to Vancouver, maybe we'll have a little chat in the stands, share a beverage.
That would be fine with me. I miss going to a lot of cities, but Vancouver truly is one of my favorites. Just an absolutely magnificent city, and I miss going to it.
Well, we love hearing that. Thank you. Tracy Myers, NHL.com.